Welcome to the Military Child Education Coalition podcast, the show that highlights a wide range of challenges and triumphs that our military-connected kids experience. My name is Nikki Harrison, and I'll be your host today. We would like to say thank you for the support of the Hurlburt Spouses Club for this episode. I am so excited to have joining me some of the Military Child of the Year recipients. It just makes me so happy that you're able to tell us a little bit about yourselves and this award. And so I just want to start by having each one of you introduce yourselves. So I actually will start with Lindsay.
Hi, my name is Lindsay. I am from San Diego. Both my parents were actually in the Navy. My dad served for 25 years, just recently retired a couple years ago, and my mom for 13 years. And I have an older brother. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lindsay. Love, love, love California. Has a little piece of my heart. How about Isabella? Could you introduce yourselves? Tell us a little bit about who you are and your family.
Hi, my name is Isabella. I am from Temecula, California. And my dad is a Marine. He's currently serving and he's planning on retiring sometime next year. So that's kind of exciting for him. And then I guess just like a couple things about me. In my free time, I do really like art and reading. I also run a lot. And one of my biggest passions is law.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And last but not least, I have Charlotte. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. My name is Charlotte. I live in Washington, D.C. I'm in 12th grade. My dad is currently serving in the Coast Guard. He's been in the Coast Guard for almost 30 years. My mom is a teacher. I have a 16-year-old sister. In my free time, I like to play soccer and run track. And I'm also really interested in science and math.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Really excited again to have you all here. And you all have such amazing backgrounds. So I would love to know, how does it feel to be a recipient of the Military Child of the Year Award? And I will start with Lindsay again.
I feel really honored, especially knowing that I'm being able to represent millions of other military children in this country. And I'm also even more honored knowing that there were so many other applicants that are also just as accomplished and deserving. And I'm so glad that I'm able to represent not only my parents, but other Navy kids and people who have served in the Navy, knowing that they've sacrificed so much for this country.
Great. Thank you. And Charlotte, how does it feel being a recipient of the award this year?
I'm super honored to be a recipient of the Military Child of the Year Award. Like Lindsay said, I feel super honored to have been picked, especially knowing how many other super deserving recipients were in this pool. And I'm really excited to represent the Coast Guard, other Coast Guard kids and Coast Guard families.
Wonderful. And Isabella, how does it feel?
So if I'm being honest, when I was initially told, it was a surreal experience. Like I couldn't believe it. I had just come back from writing a mock trial like competition, and I was told this, and I couldn't believe it. And kind of like what Lindsay and Charlotte said, you really do feel honored being able to represent one branch of the military and all of these kids who are in military families, because there's a lot of us. And I think it is really incredible that we have this opportunity and that this award even exists in the first place, because I think it is really great seeing people succeed as a military child.
Absolutely. And just for our listeners, there is a recipient for each branch of the military. So you all are representing your branches, like Isabella said. So I think it's really exciting and so important. I think I told you all in the beginning, I too was a military child. So I just think this is really amazing. So I'd love to know who or what inspired you to even apply for the award, because I'm sure there was an application and there may have been like an interview process. So what was your inspiration? I'm going to start with Charlotte.
Well, I had been aware of the award for a couple of years. I'd heard of it. I'd known people, other Coast Guard kids that were connected to my family who had receive the award or applied for the award. So I was kind of aware of it. What really pushed me towards applying for the award was the fact that I was applying for colleges this year. I was writing all these essays and kind of reflecting on my life. And I sort of started to realize how much of an impact being in a Coast Guard family has had on my life. So when I saw the purpose of this award being to kind of spotlight the experience of the military kid and highlight what that's about and just honor the experience of the military kid, I thought that would be a cool award to put myself in for.
I love that you knew some kids that, you know, had applied for the award. So that's kind of great. Like word of mouth. I feel like so much happens word of mouth when others know about different things. Lindsay, what inspired you to apply for the award? Was it a person or what exactly was it?
So I'd actually say it was my parents who inspired me because they were the ones who nominated me for this award and kind of encouraged me to go with it. They were so encouraging about it because they knew how much I, you know, experienced not only being a military child, but struggling with epilepsy and anxiety throughout my life. And they knew how much I did to overcome it. And we all kind of thought like it would be a good story and hopefully I could inspire other kids along the way through both of my experiences.
I love that too. Always leave it to our parents to be the biggest cheerleaders for us at times. So I really like that. Isabella, what about your inspiration?
For me, similar to Charlotte, I was applying for colleges and I wanted to find some scholarships or some sort of money really to pay for my college experience. And so I kind of stumbled upon it online. And I showed my parents and they seemed to be interested by it. And so that's kind of how I initially found out about it. I didn't think it was going to turn into, you know, this. I really never thought that I would actually win it, but I thought I'd give it a try. And now, like sitting here, being one of the recipients, I absolutely actually want to encourage people that I know to apply for it. And I've been like actively telling some of my friends, my little sister, just a bunch of people I know, like, hey, this is a really great award. I think you should really like apply for it. Just try it out, you know?
Yeah, I think so much happens, again, word of mouth, because this award has been around for quite some time. And I have to be honest, I didn't know about it for a while. So I think it's awesome that you all saw the interest and you stumbled across it. And a good college application, I'll definitely have you doing some extensive research on different things. So I like how it, you know, college was in play there. So Charlotte, I know that you talk about seeing the military life as a series of adventures. And I love that. I love just kind of that perspective. How has moving around impacted you? And could you talk about some of the challenges and maybe some of the advantages that you've had?
For sure. I see the military life as a series of adventures because looking back on my life, I think that it's really allowed me to experience a lot of really cool things that a lot of other kids haven't had the chance. Like I've gotten to live in the Bay Area, California. If I've gotten to live in New York City, like right on the water on the Coast Guard base, the nation's capital, here I am now. So it's really exposed me to all these different environments and different types of people. And I think that's been a really cool opportunity and it's made me a much more well-rounded person. So that's kind of why I see it as a series of adventures. It definitely has always been easy. Every military kid knows that it comes with challenges to move around all the time. So that's definitely been a difficult aspect, just getting up and moving. And so that's been hard, but you know, my family has been a big support system for me throughout that. So I've kind of been able to get through it. And one of the things that I've learned having to cope with the moving is the importance of a positive mindset. I think it's made me a much more positive person because I have to, you know, leave one place and start over somewhere new. But if I look at it as a new adventure, then it seems a lot more fun than if I look at it as, I don't know, something else. So I think that's definitely been an advantage to being a military child. It's made me more positive in everything I do. Yeah, so I'm really grateful for the chance to grow up as a military kid. I think it's a really unique experience and I've had a really memorable childhood.
I love that. And I just like how you talked about adventure and being able to move and positive mindset, that growth mindset that we talk about. I always say that, you know, when I was a military child and then of course grew up, I didn't ever really talk about it. I don't know why. I guess just became an adult and I didn't talk about it. And then I realized I had some really cool experiences like you when I was a kid. You know, I tell people I lived in West Germany before the Berlin Wall came down. I know I'm dating myself when I tell you guys that. But again, very unique life that we live moving around. And so I like that you look at it in a really positive way. I think that's really nice for our military kids. So Isabella, I know you talk about how much you admire your mother and father for their resilience in support of your family. Do you feel their resilience increases your ability to be resilient?
Absolutely. I think for their whole lives, they have, you know, constantly had to make sacrifices or push through hardships. And I think that really has made them the people that they are today. And I know for me, when I was younger, a lot of what I witnessed was we were struggling financially. And my dad was often gone with deployments. And so a lot of times at home, and even when he was recruiting, right, a lot of times at home, I saw my mom. And I saw her trying to get through the day without her husband, trying to support a family, trying to do everything kind of on her own. And I think when you see that and you see how independent she is and how much she was willing to work for you and your family, that really builds your own sense of independence. I think she was a great model to look up to. And for my dad, of course, I think with all military kids, you're constantly seeing what your parent has to go through, what they do for their job. If they're off in deployment, they're gone for months on end. And so that in itself, I think a lot of military kids can see. They can see that their parent is being resilient and they're trying to push through this really difficult career serving their country. But I think the other part of that is the parent that stays home and the parent that, you know, cooks for you and cleans for you and drives you to your soccer games and is there for you when you, you know, do poorly on a test. And I think having that support system there for me and having those examples for me, I think really built who I am as a person. And it's probably the only reason that I'm able to, I guess, do what I do today.
Wow. I mean, everything you said, and I'm sure your parents should be so proud, the fact that you are, you know, in admiration of their roles. And I love that you talked about it's not just the parent who's in the service, but also the parent who's at home or that is serving, but in a different role. So we always talk about our families serve as a whole. And so you really highlighted that with your mom. And really, it lets us know, I feel like for the parents that are listening to the podcast, that our kids are probably watching and seeing more than we realize. It's just, you know, when you were talking about, you could see the hardship, you could see the challenge and the struggle. And as parents, I think sometimes we really try to hide that part of life for our kids. So thanks for sharing that part. So Lindsay, I absolutely loved the quote that you provided, "Love the life you live the life you love," which is by Bob Marley. And I'd really like to know, why did you choose that quote and how might you relate it to living life as a military child?
Yeah, so I have actually always been a pretty big fan of Bob Marley, and I feel like the messages that his songs have are very important because of what he promotes, peace and love. I really love that message. And I chose this one in particular because it's been kind of a guiding point in my life. I've always just tried to live my life to the fullest and did things that I was truly passionate about, making me love life even further. And it kind of just motivated me, especially during tough times, like when my parents were deployed for months on end, like everyone else talked about. Luckily, I had one parent at home during the deployments, but it also kind of motivated me when I had my health struggles with epilepsy and anxiety. And so it kind of just really allowed me to be able to see good things in life. And yeah.
Okay. I love that. And that you're a Bob Marley fan. I'm like, who knew? Again, the positive perspective. All of you have talked so much about being positive and about really kind of growing and thinking about all of the things that kind of spark joy in life. And so I love that because you're young and you have that. It's really kind of neat that you were able to pick that quote. And so I have to ask, since it's out and everyone's talking about it, have you seen the new Bob Marley movie?
I will say I haven't had time to see it yet, but as soon as I saw the trailer in the movie theaters that it was coming out, I have been begging my parents to like, let's go see the movie because it looked so good. And I think that it's very important that his story is being told. And not to mention, we do get to hear some pretty awesome music. So I'm hoping I get to see the movie in the next week or so.
Okay, cool. Hopefully you get to go see it. So, well, I just love you all just telling little pieces of your story and your history and your journey as military kids. And I want to know about your future. I think you're all seniors. And so I'd love to know future plans, college, career, what's your goal? And I'll have Isabella tell us first.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I'm a senior. And so pretty much most of the colleges that I've applied to, I've heard back from. And there are a couple that I'm kind of deciding between. I haven't fully decided, but I do know that regardless of where I go, I plan on double majoring in economics and political science. And then the long-term goal is to go to law school and become a criminal defense attorney.
A criminal defense attorney. So now you have to tell me, do you watch any kind of shows? Like, what sparked that interest? And I'm going to be honest, I'm a Law and Order fan. I didn't know if you have like a favorite show or something that really led you down that path.
So for me, I actually grew up watching a lot of true crime documentaries with my mom. And so I think watching those, you kind of see all aspects of, you know, crime. And I think that initially sparked my interest in criminal law. And then I started, you know, looking more into it. And originally, I wanted to be a prosecutor. And I think once you watch true crime, you can kind of see why I'd want to do that. But once I started gaining more experience, like I was shadowing attorneys, stuff like that, I kind of started to see that, like, not everyone who commits a crime is a bad person. And so that kind of like switched my perspective on that. And that's why I want to do criminal defense now. But yeah, I would definitely say probably true crime is what inspired me initially.
Okay, good to know. I'm going to have to start watching some true crime because I haven't really watched any of that. Charlotte, what are your future plans if you have some, you know, idea about college and career?
Well, I'm also a senior. So right now I'm still kind of hearing back from some of the schools I applied to. I've already heard back from a couple of them, but I'm still waiting. So I haven't really made my decision yet. But I'm planning right now on majoring in physics or possibly engineering, something in that realm. I'm interested in like physics/astronomy/engineering. I'm not really sure yet what I want to do, but it would be cool to have a job that's somewhere in that realm. Yeah, I'm kind of just excited to explore different classes and different internships, experiences in college, and kind of figure out where I want to go with that.
Great. And that's really what college is for. I mean, to take different classes and who knows, you may find something piques your interest a little bit more than what you thought. And Lindsay, what are you thinking about for the future?
So I'm also a senior. I've actually already committed. I will be attending Tulane University in August as an honors scholar. And as of right now, I plan to major in international relations, marketing, and then with a possible minor in Italian. And that's kind of all just because when I finish college, I also want to be able to attend law school and pursue a career in international advocacy and law. And I kind of became inspired by that because I know that I won't be able to serve in the military just like my parents, but I still want to be able to do something that will allow me to serve my country. And so I've kind of just had this goal to work in the State Department as a diplomat. And I, you know, the ultimate goal, I would love to be an ambassador one day too.
Wow, great aspirations there. And I love how you talked about you still want to serve your country, you still want to serve in a capacity, and that even though it can't be necessarily the military, you're going to find a different path. And I think that's a great message for our military kids that are out there, that you can still serve and it can look different for everyone. So I know you all talk so much about, I feel like you're so positive about, you know, being a military kids, and even though you've moved around and you've had some challenges and things like that, I'd love to know if there's a hardship or a challenge that has been difficult for you to overcome. And I'll start with Lindsay.
Yeah, so mine is, I would say, is more school related. As I mentioned, through my epilepsy, I also developed anxiety. And so that kind of showed itself a lot when I started taking more advanced classes. And so in my sophomore year, I was taking my first AP course, and I got, which was AP World History. And so I got to the first test and I was so nervous that I just completely failed it. It was not great at all, but it kind of just taught me, not only like helped me reflect on how to be resilient and look for your resources, because through that, I was able to get extra help at school. I kind of realized that I needed to spend a little bit more time studying than some of my friends on tests because of that. And so I just made sure that I used my resources, tried my best, and used as much time as I needed to get things done, because, you know, sometimes you're not like everyone else, and that's okay. And so if that means being able to do things a bit longer than everyone else, then that's okay. So it kind of just taught me a lot about resilience.
I love that. Sometimes we are not like everybody else, and that's okay. Isabella, do you think of a time that you've had a little bit of a challenge?
I guess this is kind of two answers in one, but it kind of stemmed from the same place. So a couple of years back, I think I mentioned this, my dad was a recruiter, and I've been pretty fortunate to stay in one area for most of my life. But because of that, I pretty much never saw him. So it would be like multiple days where I would see him for maybe like 30 minutes total. And it was really hard for me because it does kind of feel like you have half a parent sometimes. But I think it's one of those things where when they come back and you're able to spend that time with them, you kind of, you know, you remind yourself, like, they're doing this for a reason. They're doing this for you. And so that, I mean, it kind of goes into building up my independence, where I was able to figure out how to, like, navigate school, navigate my social life, navigate everything while having to deal with my dad being away for so long. And so the second part of that, that I guess I wanted to say, was for a really long time, and I guess still kind of currently, part of being a military kid is that we moved away from where a lot of my family lives in Texas. And so growing up, I felt very disconnected from my culture, and I still struggle with that today. I'm half Mexican and half Nicaragüense. And so I still kind of struggle with that today, but I've been kind of trying to take efforts to try to teach myself Spanish, try to get more like immersed with that sort of thing. And so those two, I mean, they kind of went hand in hand, where it's like, on the one hand, you know, not really able to see your parent very often. And then with that, they're not really able to share an important part of their life with you, an important part of their culture with you. But I mean, even though it was hard for me, and I mean, it still kind of is, it's, I wouldn't say that one, I guess, negative outweighs all of the positives. I still try to look at it with a positive lens. And I still try to tell myself, like, you know, he's doing this for you. And if you have to take the extra steps to connect yourself with him, with your culture, do it. You know, it's for him, it's for you, it's for everyone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is great. I'll highlight that you said that one negative doesn't outweigh all of the positives that you had the opportunity to experience. Charlotte, what about a hardship or a challenge? Can you think of one?
For me, I think of when I was going from fifth grade to sixth grade. We moved that summer to New York, and that was a hard move for me because I was already pretty nervous about starting middle school. And so the fact that it was at a new school, I think there were a couple of different factors, but going into that new school, I became like pretty shy and timid. And I was just kind of nervous all the time about opening up to people. And it was pretty hard for me to adjust and kind of just come out of my shell. I was like very much in my shell for a while living in New York. And so that was hard for me because I knew that, like, you know, I've been moving my whole life. I don't know why it's like so hard for me right now. Like, I should know how to do this. That was pretty difficult. But I kind of realized after some time that I had a lot of really great people surrounding me that were always going to be there to support me. I had some great friends. I had my family, my sister, who's like basically my best friend. And I kind of just learn to rely on the support network. You know, I always join a soccer team wherever I move. And I love that I have that support network, those teammates that are always going to be there for you. And I kind of learned that the best thing you can do for yourself when you move to somewhere new is to put yourself out there and go out of your comfort zone. Because if you don't do that, then if you don't do that right away, it can be difficult to get out of your shell. So that was hard for me, realizing that in that process. It was a difficult adjustment period in my life, and I still kind of carry some of that like overthinking sort of stress type of thing and being too hard on myself. But now I know, you know, if you like rely on your support network, push yourself out there, go out of your comfort zone. I think I have definitely learned a lot from that sort of challenging part of my life.
I love that you talk about connection and network, because those are some of the things that we talk about here at MSEC when we are offering our support, our programs, our resources at here for parents. We talk about, you know, the importance of that. So I love that you kind of highlighted that part. So you've already talked about so many things, and I really always like to ask any advice that our guests have for like our younger military connected kids that are navigating this lifestyle. And you've probably alluded to some of that already, but do you have any advice? And I'll start with Lindsay.
Yeah, so I think that I would probably say to learn from others that you encounter, which not only means other service members or your parents, but as well as other kids who are dealing with the same thing as you, or very similar. And so I think that everyone's stories and experiences are very valuable. So treasure every single opportunity you have to learn from someone else, the overseas learning opportunities or different states, and get to know other people from other cultures and backgrounds. And lastly, I think I would probably say, as I mentioned before, to learn about your resources and don't be afraid to ask for help, specifically if you may be feeling sad or worried about your parents. I think mental health is very important, especially as a military child, because you have to deal with a lot with your parents being gone. And so I think that I would really encourage people to don't be afraid to reach out to others around you. And there's lots of tools out there to be able to help you throughout this entire process.
Isabella, do you have a piece of advice?
I would definitely say, especially from my experience where my dad had to commute to far places, I would definitely say my biggest advice is to really cherish the time that you have with your military parent. Because whether it's like deployment or like in my case, they just commute really far, they're doing a lot of hard work, and there are a lot of times where you won't be able to see them or they'll be gone for multiple months. It's just that's what it's like being a military kid. And so that's why I think it's so important that when they are there and when you do have time to spend with them, you really have to enjoy it. And if that means if you're working on homework, but your parent is coming home, if that means setting down your homework and just spending like 30 minutes catching up with like, oh, how's your day, that sort of thing, then you need to do it, right? Because I think those memories, they're going to last far longer than that one homework assignment or whatever it is. Definitely, like I said, cherish those moments.
Great piece of advice. And Charlotte, what about you?
I would say I kind of mentioned this in my last answer, but I think the biggest thing that's been helpful to me with the moving and the transition is just finding your own community in the new place that you're living and just building a community for yourself, whatever that looks like. You know, for me, it was like getting on a soccer team and finding that community. It may be for you, it might be maybe a faith-based group that you join or whatever kind of like club or activity or getting to know your neighbors, all those things to form the connections, because sometimes it feels like you've just been dropped down in this unfamiliar place. You feel like an alien, like there's no connections. So I think that the best thing you can do for yourself is to make those connections and find your community and let the things that you love doing guide where you get that community. Like join the clubs, join whatever. Anything you can do to make those connections. And then kind of like echoing what Lindsay said, lean on the supports around you and not being afraid to ask for help is really important, because it's not always going to be easy. So you need to make sure that you take care of yourself and use the people around you as resources.
Great. I love all of the pieces of advice that you gave. All three of you are wise beyond your years. It's really incredible to talk to you about your story, your journey, your lives as military kids. And I just want to say congratulations for being recipients of this award. You all are amazing. And I know your parents are probably very, very proud.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been really nice.
I'd like to thank Charlotte, Isabella, and Lindsay for their time today, as I really have enjoyed our conversation. And thank you to Operation Homefront for the opportunity to speak with these impressive students as we kick off Month of the Military Child. We look forward to hearing more from the other 2024 Military Child of the Year recipients later this month. Thanks for listening to the MSEC podcast, the official podcast of the Military Child Education Coalition. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, share, subscribe, and give today's show a 5-star rating. And don't forget to leave us a comment on topics you'd like to hear more about. We'd like to give a special thanks again to the Hurlburt Spouses Club for supporting this episode and Consensus Media for audio mixing. I'm Nikki Harrison, and until next time, in a world where you can be anything, be kind.